This podcast replay is brought to you by KSDT CPA, one of South Florida's largest and one of the country's fastest growing accounting firms. KSDT CPA is a full service firm that also excels in crypto. Visit them at KSDTCPA.com or call 305-670-3370.
All righty. When sports and business collide, we get this. We get the KSDT Sports Business Report. And for many, many years, some of you probably thought this was, you know, you guys are a little full of yourselves. Oh, give me a break. Oh, come on, bro. Yeah, how ridiculous is really? You're correcting me? These are some of the responses you have gotten to people when you are around somebody that went to this school. Sean, when you talk to somebody and you say, yeah, Ohio State, what do they tell you? But what do they tell you when you just say Ohio State? What do they say all the time? How do they correct you, Sean? Do you know? Have you been corrected by? No, never. The Ohio State. They love that the Ohio State shit. Oh, no, we're not Ohio State. We're the Ohio State. Well, Ohio State has successfully trademarked the word the for the use of their clothing through the United States Patent and Trademark Office on Tuesday, ending a three-year quest to register one of the most commonly used words in the English language. Trademark attorney Josh Gerben, founder of Gerben Intellectual Properties, tweeted the trademark certificate Wednesday afternoon. The USPTO refused the initial application for the mark, which was filed in 2019 of August. The was deemed merely a decorative and ornamental feature of the applicant's clothing, according to an official letter issued in response to the application included in Gerben's thread about the registration. Prior to Ohio State's application, clothing company Marc Jacobs had also filed the application for the, which Ohio State opposed in its response to the USPTO. The university also showed that the USPTO, that it was not using the trademark only in a decorative or ornamental way. Ohio State and Marc Jacobs ultimately reached a settlement in which they could both own the registration for the in August of 2021, and the university continued through the USPTO application process to register the trademark after clearing up the issue of that mark being deemed merely ornamental, according to documents tweeted by Gerben. The registration certificate issued Tuesday allows Ohio State to control over the use of the on the clothing, such as T-shirts, baseball caps, and hats. The Ohio State. So after all these years of being a bunch of snobs with their the Ohio State crap, they got it now permanently. There you go. The Ohio State. Aren't they special? That's your KSDT CPA Sports Business Report. I'll tell you, the pandemic hurt a lot of people, brought a lot of us down. People lost jobs, people lost businesses. But, you know, certain individuals and certain companies probably got more powerful and more rich. In fact, the rich in this world probably doubled their net worth during the last couple of years. Well, guess what? Nike has reported $12.2 billion in fourth quarter revenues on Monday, and $46.7 billion in the full year of revenue. That's a 6% increase over last year. The swoosh beat analyst quarterly estimates of $12.06 billion, but fell 1% from the same period last year. Nike reported an income of $1.4 billion. Nike direct revenue increased 7% to $4.8 billion during the quarter. Nike brand digital saw its revenue jump 15%, and Nike-owned stores fell 2%. Converse, a subsidiary of Nike, reported $593 million in revenue, down 1% over the year. Revenue for Nike brand reached $44.4 billion for the fiscal year. It's amazing. Company announced, by the way, it is exiting the Russian market, which includes more than 100 Nike stores, 3 months after suspended operations following Russian invasion of Ukraine. Nike also unveiled plans this month to team up with Apple for a series of sports films, authorized a new four-year, $18 billion program to repurchase shares of Nike Class B common stock. Amazing. That company, how it just absolutely prints money. Man, that is impressive. And you, although I was thinking about this, pandemic kept more people at home. Maybe more people that wanted to work out weren't going to gyms, so they had to go run around their neighborhoods, all that. Well, people still had to buy shoes, right? So I guess, you know, you still need shoes. And the beauty of Nike is that it's the shoe you buy to work out, it's the shoe you buy to hang out, and it's the shoe you buy to go out. So it's kind of like, see, we grew up back in our day, sneakers were not what you went out with at all. You might wear some Hush Puppies, some Topsiders, some, I don't know what, regular, you know, shoes, whatever. You wore all kinds of different shoes. Normally, you didn't go out in sneakers. Whereas now, the last 20, 25 years, I would say that's absolutely changed. Now people wear sneakers going out with suits, with dresses, with all kinds. Sneakers are styled in every way, shape, and form now. And they're specifically styled to go out. And Nike is one of those brands that you normally are used to styling with, right? I mean, that's kind of the thing with Nike, right? People collect the damn Nike. So I'm not surprised if Nike is one that the value continues to soar, because it's actually a sneaker used for everything. That's your KSDT CPA Sports Business Report. This is a story that's kind of ridiculous, and this city would be really stupid if they end up doing this, to be quite honest with you. But Major League Baseball would reportedly waive any relocation fees associated with the move from the Las Vegas area for the Oakland A's. The relocation fees could be as high as $1 billion. The Raiders, by the way, paid $378 million to move from Oakland to Los Angeles in 2020. The team would reportedly seek public funding to build a new stadium in Las Vegas, an issue that could complicate the move there. The team has settled on two potential stadium sites in Southern Nevada, both on the resort corridor. Now, it's not clear if the Tampa Bay Rays would get a similar waiver should they opt to switch cities. Now, here's the thing that and in Oakland, by the way, they're going to vote on potentially allowing a $12 billion stadium to be redesigned and developed there where they're at. They're going to need 18 of the 27 commissioners to vote to redesignate that place to allow a potential $12 billion stadium there if they're able to do it. And Dave Cavill, the A's president, has indicated that a vote against the project could essentially kill the team's hopes to stay in Oakland. Here's my problem with all of this. If you're the city of Oakland, I wouldn't give the A's anything. Look, normally I would never give billionaires any stadiums or arenas. I think it's just stupid to do that in general. Okay? Mickey Arison doesn't need your help, and neither does Stephen Ross. They can build their own stadiums and arenas and laugh at it. Okay, it's a drop in their well. Here's my problem. Why the F would you want to work with the A's? At least if you work with Stephen Ross, he's going to spend money. If you work with Mickey Arison, he'll spend money. If you work with Jerry Jones, he'll spend money. So there are owners you want to work with. Stan Kroenke, he's going to spend money. Okay, so there are some owners that if you had to do the private public partnership deal, which is ridiculous, but if you're going to do it with somebody that's going to spend money, because by see, here's the thing, what people don't understand. Okay. And normally, again, like I told you, I'm not into public spending for an arena or a stadium. But if you do it with Mickey Arison, follow me on this. Follow me on this. Okay, you have a shitty owner in Jeffrey Loria owning the basketball team. So he'll be Donald Sterling and the Clippers doing nothing. Or you can have Mickey Arison owning the Miami Heat, and he'll be the Miami Heat or whatever great franchise winning and playoffs and all that. Great, right? So you have... Let's just put Loria in the baseball and keep Mickey in basketball. Let's not even put Loria in basketball. Let's put them in their real natural environments. Nobody goes to Marlins games. Nobody trusts the Marlins. So because nobody goes to Marlins games and nobody trusts the Marlins, what happens? You have no attendance. So since you have low attendance, guess what you also have? You have less employees working inside that building. You have less people parking in your parking lots. You have less people selling arepas and hot dogs outside. You have less businesses getting business outside that stadium. Move over to the Heat. The arena's packed. Parking lots are full. Everybody's paying for all those parking lots. Everybody's selling arepas and hot dogs and beer and water outside. Bars are filled all throughout South Florida watching the Miami Heat. People are at home buying the Miami Heat packages. Nobody's buying Marlins packages. Nobody's going to a sports bar to watch the Marlins. The woman selling the arepas is not even making profit. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So when you deal with Mickey Arison, you will have a Heat store in the Bayside. You will have a Heat store in the Miami Airport. You will have a Heat store. Don't they have one in Dolphin Mall, I think, also? You get what I'm saying? So now you have Heat stores, which that requires employees. Oh, that requires inventory. That requires jobs. You understand? So when you're the Miami Heat and you do a public-private partnership with Mickey Arison, he's filling his arena and he's filling your sports bars. Wow, what a concept. An owner that is giving back to the community. Yeah, you paid for his arena, but he's also paying you back by creating jobs and opportunities all over the place. So he's reinvesting into the community. But if you make a deal with a Jeffrey Loria, he's not investing jack shit in your community because he's not going to make the Marlins a buzz team. So people, guys aren't going to say, hey, fellas, let's go over to Sports Grill on Bird Road in Doral and Pembroke Pines. Let's go hang out, man, and watch the Marlins game, have some beers and wings. F that, dude. You're not wasting any money to see the Marlins. But you'll waste money to go see the Heat. You'll buy their jerseys. You'll buy the shirts. You'll buy the hats. You'll buy it at this store, that store, the Heat store, everywhere. Creating income, creating jobs, creating value. You'll go to Caneswear and buy it. And I bet you at Caneswear, they sell a lot more Heat gear than they do Marlins gear. Ooh. That's more business for Caneswear. That's why public-private partnership is important at times. If you have the right owner that is going to reinvest and you have the Golden State Warriors and they're going to win all these titles and they're going to create all kinds of stuff, then, you know, and now all of a sudden you got the Deer Park and you've got the Jurassic Park and you've got all these things that they're doing outside the arena. Does that happen with shitty teams? No. That happens with good teams, good owners that are now creating a packed arena inside and a packed area outside. And guess what's doing outside? A lot of business, a lot of money. People buying shirts, hats. They're buying beers, water, Coke, whatever. Business. Creating all kinds of income. That's what good ownership does for you. So why in the hell would you want to make a deal with the A's? They don't spend. They never get over the hump. They have good baseball people. But if you're the city of Oakland, why would you want to make a relationship with them? Why would you want to give them $1 billion or a $2 billion stadium? And if you're Vegas and you're going to try to attract the team, hell, tell them that you'll buy the team and bring it there. You can find a richer owner to make Vegas special. The Knights got there and they made themselves special right from the get-go. Are the A's going to do that? I haven't seen it. They haven't been special since the Bash Brothers. And before that, you have to go to Reggie Jackson. So why would you do a deal with a shitty ownership group? That's bad business. That's your KSDT Sports Business Report. The KSDT Sports Business Report, when sports and business collide, that's what we like to do. We like to talk about the KSDT Sports Business Report. And this one's kind of interesting and very creative, I got to say, Sean. So I'm not sure if you're aware, but Barcelona has had a lot of financial issues as a franchise. So Barcelona has agreed to sell 10% of their La Liga TV rights for the next 25 years to global investments from Sixth Street Partners. The deal will generate $260 million of revenue for this season's accounts, with Sixth Street initially investing $207 million for its shares of Barcelona TV rights. Barcelona members agreed that the EGM on June 16th to sell 25% of their La Liga rights to more than one investor. The members also agreed to sell 49.9% of the Barca licensing and merchandising arm of the club in order to raise capital to balance the books for the 2021 season. They hope to make $600 million from both arrangements in order to turn a profit and allow them to make Barca a competitive team. We are activating economic levers and executing on our patient, sustainable and efficient strategy to strengthen the club's financial footing, said Joan Laporta, Barcelona's president. So they've been having so many problems. That is so creative that they get their broadcast rights and get a percentage of those rights and sell those that percentage. Because obviously, as you all know, the broadcasting rights to a Barcelona football team, that's expensive. Kind of like NFL rights and all that kind of stuff. So that value is through the roof. Very creative, considering the financial problems that they've had and the burden it's been for them. That's a really creative way of actually getting it done. Pretty impressive. That is your KSDT CPA Sports Business Report. All right, it looks like the A's have taken one step forward. Now, it's not a permanent thing, but the proposed $12 billion developmental proposal has been cleared with the key vote on Thursday, allowing the project to move forward. The San Francisco Bay Conservation and Development Commission voted 23-2 to remove Howard's Terminal port use designation, clearing the path for a potential ballpark project. Commissioner staff provided a key lift for the project, recommending prior to the vote that the port designation be removed. The stadium project is far from a done deal. The team must still strike a deal with the city of Oakland, and housing remains a sticking point in negotiations with the city. And the project calls for a parkland of 400-room hotel, 270,000 square feet of retail space, 3,000 housing units, and the city has called for 15% of those housing units to be affordable or above city requirements of 7-12%. So we will see. Dave Caval, the A's president, called the vote a huge win for the waterfront ballpark project and the future of the Oakland A's. Now, Vegas still remains an option. A's executives have pursued Oakland project and a new development in Southern Nevada. The parallel tracks, the team had narrowed down its Las Vegas options to two sites. The main hurdle there is maybe securing public financing, which could politically, it could cause problems for Nevada Governor Steve Sosolak, and MLB would reportedly waive relocation fees associated with the move. they're so broke, they don't have enough money for their own ballpark. They can't afford the relocation fees. Why would you make a deal? I keep asking myself. I keep reading about this story, and I see the obvious. How come they don't? Like, it's there. It's a poor ownership group. Not by your standards and mine. We would love to have their money. But in a world of billionaires, they're poor. They cannot compete. Why would you build them a stadium? In Oakland, in Vegas, it's the most baffling thing. And this happens, and in baseball, you see, remember what they did with Loria? They allowed him to purchase from the Expos to then move him to Miami. Sell him to Washington and then give them Miami, right? That's how it was, right? Right. He was allowed to sell Montreal to Washington, but in that agreement, they allowed him to also buy Miami, and they loaned him the money to finish the purchase of the Marlins. I believe it was $39 million. They had to loan him, right?
Yeah, Major League Baseball purchased the Expos.
Right.
And then moved them to Washington.
Right. And he profited from that. And then he needed money in order to purchase the Marlins. Why would you actually get an owner that needs money? Only baseball does this. In football, you have to be vetted and you have to be fanatically rich, pathetically rich. You have to be able to just print money. But yet in baseball, the requirements are not the same. They will deal with owners that don't have enough money. Another reason why baseball has gone to shit. That's your KSDT Sports Business Report. Like I said, that's your KSDT Sports Business Report.